Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
The Growing in Grace podcast. Hey, we are into the thousands now. And I think that that's worthy of celebration, but and over 20 years. But I am Joel Briesky, along with Mike Kapler. And this guy, Mike Kapler, he's the guy who is convinced that he has now done so many works to justify himself and to prove his justification that he's now taking a permanent vacation for the rest of his life from his works, knowing that it is finished because of all that he has done. Isn't that right?
That is exactly right. Yeah. It's called resting. You know, the phrase rest in peace, by the way, little off subject of where you were trying to go, but the rest in peace, you see it on the tombstones or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, rest in peace, brother. Somebody passes and we say rest in peace. Why can't we do that now?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I like to use the phrase, there is peace in rest now, right now.
Yes.
If you're able to rest, you know, because I was joking, you know, about how all of your works, you've done enough works that now you can rest and take a permanent vacation. But it's really not about that. It's, of course, it's about the work that Jesus did. It is finished, and we can rest now in that, not in the works that we have done or accomplished. And there's peace in that rest. There really is peace, because you know that you have peace with God, not based upon your struggling and striving to try to get everything right and perform enough works and justify yourself before him through what you do. You don't have to do that. You know that you have peace with God because you've been justified by faith and through nothing that you've done. That is what is sorely missing in the body of Christ today, because so much of the teaching and preaching that goes on has to do with, you're saved by grace, but, and we've done one podcast in particular called Grace But Ministries. It's grace, but you got to have something to show for it. And so, you know, many people live with that type of mindset, and they don't have that peace, and they're not able to rest because they're not basing it on Christ and what he's done, but on what they've done.
It is a slippery slope that even grace people can find themselves starting to slide down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I know we talk about this a lot on the podcast, but it's such a dividing line between life and death, between a true gospel of grace versus a phony gospel of works, an identity founded in righteousness versus an identity, sort of a fake identity, that is enveloped in self-righteousness based on what people do. There are these serious dividing lines here, and there are different perspectives and ways that we can look at them. So it's one of the reasons why we like to continue to talk about them, because sometimes we can talk about something and not get it, and then look at it in a different way, and then you start to realize, oh, and you start putting two and two together. Mm-hmm. So what happens, Joel, sometimes is, and I've dealt with this from people for years, sadly, I mean, for years before my grace days. Now, some of these people probably, like I did once upon a time, believed you could lose your salvation, but let's put them over on the sideline here for a minute and talk about some of the people I used to deal with pre-grace in some of the churches I attended and some of the teaching that was popular and still is. And that is that these are people who believe you truly are saved by grace through faith and not of works. But there's that big B word again, the but word. You need to be doing something. I mean, if you're truly saved, if you're really saved, if your faith is genuine, then you will have works, good works. And the very thing that the writer of Hebrews told us to try to avoid is the foundation of dead works. Because any time that you're trying to contribute to your righteousness, to your salvation, to your justification, to your sanctification, if you're trying to do anything that contributes toward that or solidifies it in some way, then those are dead works. So we have life and we have death. God wants us to choose life. That is only found in a person, not through an action. The person of Jesus Christ is where life is found. You're not even going to find it in Bible verses, because anybody can memorize Bible verses and never come to faith. That's why Jesus told people who were around him early in his ministry, you look to the scriptures so that you may find life, eternal life, but you refuse to come to me so that you may obtain it. I'm paraphrasing there a little bit, but that's essentially what he said. And so what we've got here, Joel, is in my book, Clash of the Covenants, one thing I really tried to hammer home. I think I remember one person telling me, I wish I had just read the epilogue first. That was at the end of the book. But one thing I tried to bring out there is if you're going to talk grace out of one side of the mouth, grace through faith, righteousness as a gift, and that there's nothing we can add to it. If you're really going to do that, then you can't be talking out of the other side of the mouth that says you have to have works to prove it, or to show that your faith is alive, to show that your faith isn't dead. That's not what this is about. And so if people are going to do that, though, talk out of both sides of the grace mouth, then we have to get more specific. Exactly, specifically, line by line, please tell me exactly how one knows that their faith isn't dead based upon their works.
Yeah. You know, that'd be like, you know, years ago I lived in a town not far from here, and I lived in right across the street from a river, and just down, you know, about three blocks down was a dam. And I, as a kid, sometimes I worried, because we would sometimes swim in the river. I don't think people do that these days. I'm not sure, but we would do river floats in this particular river. But, and I would worry, what if I get caught, you know, get down there and get caught where I can't swim back because of the strength of the flow of water at that point? Because I had remembered years ago when I was a kid swimming in Lake Michigan, and my dad was sitting there on the shore reading his newspaper, and I kept getting sucked out, you know, drawn out further and further. I couldn't get myself in back into shore, and I was yelling, and my dad was just sitting there reading his newspaper, oblivious to what was going on. And finally I was able to make my way back, but it was scary, very, very scary. And so anyway, I would picture myself like on this river, which wasn't as bad of a situation as that could have been, but I pictured myself, okay, so I'm about to go over, somebody throws me a lifeline, somebody throws me that, and they are the person who ends up saving me. All I did was grab on, and they pulled me in. And so, well, that person could then turn around and say, you know what, you didn't really do enough. You weren't doing anything, so are you really saved? You know, and I'm standing there on the shore now, and so that's like, I don't know, it's kind of a silly metaphor, but I guess if you're saved by grace through faith, then what part did you play in that? You simply believed, and God saved you. It wasn't your works. So God is not saying, well, you've got to have some works to show for this, otherwise, because that would mean like I'm back on the river now, and I'm about to go over the dam, and I've got to do something just to show that I had something to do with this, you know, to show that I'm really saved. Well, it's double talk. It's nonsense, because I'm already saved. I'm already standing on the shore. I'm in safety now, and it was because of what somebody else did. That's the point that I'm making here. And that's, you know, that's what Paul said in regard to salvation and justification. It's all about what God has done. You know, it's the person who does not work, who does not work, who has no works, but believes in God, who justifies the ungodly. You know, what part that person is justified? That's the person who's saved. That's the person who has right standing with God based upon nothing that they've done. And so now you have other people now saying, but they're adding that but to what Paul said. They're adding that but. They're adding something, a condition that Paul never added. He never said, now you have to have something to show for it. Paul did talk about, in our new identity, you know, fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit is his fruit. But as we've talked about recently, I think toward the end of last year, maybe some this year, I can't remember, that, yeah, there's a legitimate thing called fruit, but that's not proof of salvation. That's not God saying, well, now there's some proof. So now I got the proof. Now for sure you're saved. It's a legitimate part of the Holy Spirit being in us. But if you don't have that fruit, that doesn't mean, you know, if you don't have that fruit to show, that doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you were not justified, because you were justified and saved by nothing. Nothing that you've done. There's nothing you could ever do, and there's nothing you can do to show that you're saved, because it's by faith. And faith is something that you can't see. Works are something that you can see, but faith is evidence of things that you cannot see. So it's, you know, the whole idea of having to have something to show for your salvation is bogus. It's just wrong. And it goes against, actually, it goes against the true gospel.
Well, first of all, I'm picturing you coming out of that river, biting off the head of a catfish, kind of like Smeagol from Lord of the Rings.
I was picturing. That's what goes through your head. Okay.
You're right. Faith is the evidence of that which is not seen. Fruit, by the way, is not always on display. It's right. A work of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Can you see the Spirit? No. Can you see the evidence of the Spirit? Yes. But the fruit that the Spirit produces through us that we bear, it may be seen, it may not always be seen. It's something that works from within, and it certainly can work its way out. That's the difference. God working in and through us, not us trying to do things to demonstrate our faith to the world. You know, Jesus cautioned against that during the Sermon on the Mount. That's your reward, he said.
Yeah.
Getting recognized by other people. And so if faith is truly dead based on not producing enough works, first of all, that would give you something to boast about, which Paul said we don't have any place to boast. But secondly, I think we have to ask the question, if your works are causing faith to be dead, we're saved by faith, that means that salvation is dead. So you see some of the double talk that we try to throw around by, you know, scratching up a few verses here and some here and throwing them in the blender and then making people drink it. It's a combination of two different covenants. And Joel, I think a lot of this will come down to understanding our identity in Christ. You mentioned Romans 4, where Paul said it is to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. Isn't that something? That's a powerful thing. Are works beneficial? Are they profitable? Of course they are. Good works are indeed profitable, and they can be a part of, they can be manifested and expressed because of our understanding in growing in our identity in Christ. And I think that's a lot of what this comes down to, is understanding our identity in Christ as gifted by God to us in the form of right standing with him. Righteousness that comes apart from works, apart from a law, and results in holiness for us. Because if you walk around thinking, I'm just a sinner, I'm just a failed sinner, and if you think that's part of your identity, guess what you're going to keep doing? You're going to keep doing things that are fleshly, that are unprofitable, that tangle you up, that cause pain and for yourself and to those around you. And so there's other ways to avoid sin. And I think one of the greatest is understanding who you are as a believer in Christ. As he is, so are we in him. And understanding that we are royalty, and it isn't based upon anything that we've done as some sort of quid pro quo.
Right. That's exactly right. It's you do something, and so God, it's that means that God owes you. That's what Paul was saying in Romans 4. You know, if you're going to say, okay, I've done this amount of work, that's a debt that God owes you then. If you're going to say that my works mean that you have to save me, my works mean that you have to justify me, you've just indebted God. and you can't do that. The way that Paul said it, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So in other words, it's not by grace, but you know, it's by God paying you a debt because of what you've done. And just before that, at the end of Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Where are our works there? They're not there. Through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Again, where are our works in that? In fact, Paul goes on, where is boasting then? It is excluded. It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. So he's not talking about following a law, but he's just talking about the principle of faith. It's by faith. That's why boasting is excluded, because it has nothing to do with what we do. So we can't boast before God. We can't say, God, you owe me a debt. You owe me justification by what I've done. He says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So justification, salvation, knowing God, all of this, if our works have any part in it, even if it's something that we're supposed to be able to show in order to prove that we're saved or justified, then that means that it's not God. That means that we can boast. That means that God owes us something. And may that never be. It's always going to be by grace through faith, apart from works.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.